From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Well, hang on to your hats. Apparently, the wind is going to be kicking up here. High winds warnings in the Albuquerque area, and the conditions expected to stay that way until about 9 o'clock tonight. But some precipitation in the forecast, so plan accordingly. Although we're going to reach a high today in the upper 50s, we'll be closer to 50 degrees by tomorrow, and that precipitation chance greatly increases tomorrow and on Saturday. So. There you go. A couple other things we want to make sure you know about before we introduce our guests for the full hour today. The Bless Israel broadcast is going to be airing through the month of March on KLYT at 2:30 in the morning overnight, and then afternoons at 3:30. With so many Jewish people living in unthinkable conditions right now in Israel and around the world, including innocent children, families, and elderly Holocaust survivors, please make the most generous gift you can. Donation to the Fellowship of Christians and the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews provides basic necessities like food, medical assistance, and shelter, as well as safety and security provisions in times of crisis. So to give, click on the banner at klyt.fm. When you go there, you'll see a few things to check out, including an opportunity to give during the Vitalant Blood Drive at Calvary Church on Good Friday. Now, that's still at least a couple weeks away, but the Vitalant mobile unit will be out in the parking lot at Calvary Church on Osuna, west of Jefferson, on Good Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and to set up an appointment, all you need to do is go to klyt.fm, click on the Vitalant link there, and set up your time to give blood. For the entire hour today, we're spending time with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation and Errors of Enchantment. Paul, welcome back in.
Good to be back with you, Steve.
Plenty to talk about today, including some content that you provided for the National Review. It's pretty impressive.
Well, thank you. Yes, lots to discuss right now going on in New Mexico. You know, just kind of setting the stage. Of course, we had the 30-day legislative session, which concluded in essentially mid-February. And then just last Wednesday, the kind of cycle concluded with the end of the governor's signing period. So all the bills that either passed or were line item vetoed or vetoed outright. We all know everything that happened during the legislative session. And what I was writing about in National Review is essentially the fact that in New Mexico, we seem to have this mentality purely based on my longtime reading of New Mexico politics, but also looking at the numbers. We have this mentality that we're fine with a rich state full of poor people. And how do I say that? Well, just take this last legislative session. Now, we could argue, as I will, that tax cuts would be a better use of the money than a lot of the other things that are done with our tax dollars. But what, even if you include the spending that was adopted this session, about a $650 million or so increase, about close to 7%, very little in the way of tax reduction, but about $200 million. If you're generous and you call all the tax credits and special interest provisions tax reductions, so that's $850 million. Well, the budget surplus when we hit the session was $3.5 billion. So where's the other $2.7 billion going? Well, much of it is going into various funds and deferred spending and things that will prop New Mexico government up for many years to come. But it's not going to do a darn bit of good for New Mexicans right now. And that's the thrust of the article.
Yeah, and actually one of the things that stood out to me, you said that will finance government for years to come. I used the number, the year 2100 in the article, which that's, I don't know, I hesitate to say funny. It's actually kind of scary, and you just, you know, you'd like to see it managed better. Now, you know, as you mentioned at the top of the hour, we just finished the roundhouse session in mid-February, and then the opportunity for the government, you know, so our legislators got to vote, and then in one way or another, our governor got to vote. And, well, Paul, come November, we get to.
So, exactly.
If we don't like what's happening, it's something we say often in our segment, but be involved. Be, you know, and just because you're registered doesn't mean, you've fulfilled really probably what you should heavily consider doing is actually going down and voting. And not just, you know, I know we have a presidential election coming in November, but Paul, it's these local smaller elections throughout the 4 years between presidential elections that are every bit as much or more important.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, for me, what will determine kind of success or failure or happiness about the election hinges a lot more on what will happen in those 112 races for the New Mexico legislature than it will on the presidential election. I understand that most people probably believe that that is the more important election, however. And regardless, the fact is that people do tend to vote on party lines up and down the ballot. So if it's a good election for Joe Biden, it'll be a good election for Democrats in New Mexico. If it's a good election for Donald Trump, it'll be a good election for Republicans in New Mexico. That's just the way the average voter sees things. It's guys like me who really do this stuff on a day-to-day basis and live, eat, and breathe it that see it a little differently. And, you know, ultimately, the future of New Mexico is heavily dependent on what we do in those 112 races across the state of New Mexico, the entire legislature. So you will have two folks to vote for, one for the House and one for the Senate. This is only done every 4 years in a presidential election cycle. So a lot of changes too, by the way. Can talk a little bit about those, but just recently we passed the filing deadline for candidates. So that was Tuesday of this week. We now know that the House Minority Leader for the Republicans and the House Senate Minority Leader as well, sorry. Both Republicans, House and Senate, their leadership changes out. Greg Baca and Ryan Lane in the Senate and House, respectively. So that right there is big. A lot of changes already on the docket for people retiring from legislative races, others around the state moving from House to Senate to take new seats. And then, of course, we have the election. So there will be a lot of new faces in Santa Fe in January of 2025.
And actually, I forget where I saw it, but I heard a story recently, too. Was it Greg Lake, you said?
Lane.
Greg Lane. Not to be surprised to see him make a run at governor, although he's stepping down from the roundhouse. So that'd be interesting to see in the coming months. Whether or not that happens. One other thing I wanted to point out, you know, you were talking about the surplus in New Mexico and the amount of money that our government here locally is able to put into the big pot. The comparison between New Mexico and other states in regards to how many, for every $1 paid in taxes, how much New Mexico gets in federal funding was, wow, what a discrepancy.
Yeah, it's widely known that New Mexico, a very heavily dependent state when it comes to the federal government. At least anybody who takes an honest look at New Mexico's economy and the numbers. But $3.26 comes into New Mexico for every dollar we pay in taxes. That's pretty astonishing because you know, that's just a lot of money. And again, while we have oil and gas and the budget surpluses that that brings, we also have the federal government pumping money in here. And yet, we remain a heavily impoverished state that really hasn't been able to get out of its own way when it comes to diversifying its economy and growing it. So,
and to put that into perspective, the $3.26 in federal funding, a note on, it was actually in a related article connected to the post for the National Review article that you wrote. Around half the other states get less than $1 in funding for every, I mean, yeah, there's all this money, and we've talked in the past before too, because, you know, money can be thrown towards education, but, if the problem, you know, if you have a, if something's broken and you just, you know, if your car's broken and you just put more gas in it, it's not necessarily going to fix the problem. The problems need to be addressed, and I'm not the guy, but it's, you know, it clearly isn't happening because we keep testing, you know, where we are nationally in regards to education and so many other things.
It's pretty clear that more money is not the answer to our education woes in the state of New Mexico. That is for sure.
All right. So another article found on Errors of Enchantment, by the way, the website where Paul is able to put his blog posts, errorsofenchantment.com. And actually, if you click the feed, you'll find many of these articles that we're talking about today. Another one that you wrote just at the end of last month talks about the governor being praised for what she's done for business, but you start scratching your head.
Well, I would say that she may have praised herself a little bit, something that a lot of politicians do a lot of is patting their own backs. And the governor recently spoke to the Albuquerque Chamber and, you know, said a bunch of things like New Mexico's born to lead and this, that, and the other thing. And the Albuquerque Journal editorial board in particular had a very nice response. They had a cartoon with the governor sitting in the front seat in a car seat, basically, which is all the more delicious because the governor is short and she really dislikes being exposed as such. But the state of California driving, and that's very much the case, is California is driving our policies. We tend to be embracing whatever California is doing on various issues. So there's that. Then the Albuquerque Journal had a great editorial talking about how, you know, all of what we're seeing right now growth-wise is dependent on oil and gas industry, which the governor really doesn't like to talk about. And I noted in my own writings on the issue that New Mexico didn't, the legislature did not do anything to actually improve outcomes with regard to the economy in this particular legislative session. The best thing that we saw this session was the death of mandatory paid leave, and that's not really going to result in economic improvement. Yeah, we saw some very, very modest tax reduction, really on the order, if you actually talk about tax reduction, about $75 million annually because of the increases that were also included. So minuscule. And they're touting it, and the governor and the media kind of do this together, unfortunately, where the media just doesn't question what the governor and her press releases say. But the Journal had a more kind of long-term approach looking at, you know, how our state tends to be last in a lot of the good things and tends to be first in a lot of the bad things. So a lot of kind of ability to question what the governor is talking about when it comes to New Mexico leading. And we could and should be leading right now. We should be leading in job growth because, again, of the oil and gas industry and the money that's flowing in here. And if that money was put to good use, we would have really, I think, a better state, a better outcome for our citizens. And we're just not doing it. And that gets back to those 112 races for the legislature.
Well, if you just tuned in, we're spending the full hour today with Paul Gesing of the Rio Grande Foundation. We'd encourage you to check out the website at riograndefoundation.org and the blogs posted at errorsofenchantment.com. Go check those out. And, hey, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more with Paul after this on ABQ Connect. All right, thanks for joining us. And I want to call your attention to one other item you'll find on the KLYT homepage. This is an event that is put together by the Colson Center and Focus on the Family. Coming up on March 19th, this is a free event, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, Transgender to Transformed, Transforming Power of Christ for the Gender Confused. And it's a free event, and you know whether you actually drive up to Colorado Springs for the event or you attend digitally, you can go to our website at klyt.fm and click on the banner posted there for Lighthouse Voices. You really have an opportunity to experience the powerful testimony from Laura Perry Smalls, the esteemed author of Transgender to Transformed, and she's going to illuminate her journey of breaking free from the transgender lifestyle and discovering profound liberation in embracing her biological gender through the grace and hope found in the truth of Jesus Christ. If you want details, go to klyt.fm, and on the homepage there, you'll see a banner for Lighthouse Events. Click on that, and you can register for this free event for Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, March 19th, next Tuesday. Full hour today on ABQ Connect with Paul Gesing from the Rio Grande Foundation. And if you want to follow along with some of these articles, blogs that Paul's posted, you may log on to errorsofenchantment.com. And Paul, actually, I do this on occasion. For those not familiar with the Rio Grande Foundation, you always are much more eloquent in explaining to people what it is that the Rio Grande Foundation does.
Yeah, we are a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization based here in Albuquerque. We work on economic policy and education policy reform throughout the state of New Mexico. Our primary focus is statewide economic policy issues and trying to develop New Mexico by expanding individual freedom, economic freedom, reducing the role of government and increasing the role of individual initiative and decision making to better all New Mexicans' lives.
So towards the end of last month, Paul, another article that you posted, MLG, we got to build houses. Also, MLG, we got to regulate houses more and tax them.
Yeah. So one of the bills that passed last legislative session was HB 195. Essentially, the idea of that bill is to take one of many funds that the state has available. You know, they're always putting money in pots available to them to use in certain ways. And that pot of money was set aside last year to assist in economic development initiatives. Okay, well and good, yet another corporate subsidy boondoggle, but it is what it is. This year, they added a provision to include housing and subsidizing housing into that, you know, pool of money, just expanding the use of that money. And the governor made a big deal out of it in her press release saying, you know, we need housing for people when we're creating all of these new jobs and subsidizing these new industries. That's all fine and dandy. But as I pointed out in a blog post, the state of New Mexico, under the auspices of this governor, recently adopted regulations and new policies that directly increase the cost of housing. Now, we've talked about the EV charging stations at apartment buildings. I'm not going to get into the details, but suffice it to say, I've written about it extensively at errorsofenchantment.com. New building codes have been adopted for single family housing, which also include EV station mandates in there. And on top of that, there's other, because these are building codes, these are very detailed and complex things that regulate the way new houses are built. They want to add in things like new insulation, mandating an increased amount of insulation be used in houses. Now, that's something that we can debate or discuss, but as somebody from the housing industry noted in the Albuquerque Journal, these new regulations will increase housing prices by requiring increased attic space, changing housing plans that have been used in the past. Now you've got to add new space on. You've got to add more stucco. You've got to add more tile or roof space. All kinds of unforeseen or so-called unintended consequences. Plus, on top of all that, there are still ways that the New Mexico gross receipts tax applies to the price of a house in terms of the construction of a house that make housing higher in terms of the price. So my point with all of this is that government loves to talk about the ways that it giveth, if you will. It giveth more subsidies. We build more houses with your tax dollars. But when it taketh, they like to avoid and deflect that. She's not shy about, oh, we're going to have more green housing, more this, more that, more EV charging stations. But that comes out of the same housing price that you're paying that's gone up, and everybody is feeling the pinch on that if you're looking for a new house in Albuquerque, in Santa Fe, in the cities, and around the state of New Mexico, quite frankly. Housing has gone way, way up, and government policies share a lot of the blame. Now they're going to subsidize it too.
Yeah, you know, when I, and not to beat on this, but, you know, and we've talked at length about the mandated charging stations, but, you know, it's like in 20 or 40 years, whenever the true science is really understood on how it isn't beneficial, if you believe that, if you've looked into it and think that, you know, going the EV route is, you know, is not really something that's better for our planet, this would be akin to, at that time, mandating, you know, that there's gas pumps outside of each and every business. When I see what the government is mandating, you would like to think, well, that's because they want to help, you know, people. But I don't see that. And you got to wonder, what's the motivation behind wanting to do this kind of stuff, Paul?
Oh, that's the easy part. It's control, man. Politicians love to control the actions of individuals. Sometimes that is for what I would call good intentions, and sometimes it is for what I would call nefarious intentions. Either way, the good intentions, as you know, there's a very well-paved road that involves good intentions. Yeah. They tend to lead to the same general location because, you know, what governments and politicians want is often not what's in the best interests of the average person. And it's just frustrating because we are out there at the Rio Grande Foundation educating, banging the drum, trying to draw attention and make sure that average people understand that politicians do not have their best interests at heart with almost everything that they do. And these policies are a great example when it comes to the housing situation.
Well, and again, it goes back to educating yourself about who's going to be running for office locally in the city and in the Roundhouse and nationally, and being involved in the process by getting out your vote in November. We're going to take a quick break. We're spending the full hour today with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation, and we're going to come back on more of these blogs that Paul's provided for us at his website, errorsofenchantment.com, and of course you can go to riograndefoundation.org as well for more information. We'll be right back after the break on ABQ Connect. Hey, listen, if you if you're a middle school student, high school student, and you've got that talent that you want to share with others and be part of the ABQ God's Talent competition, it's a free opportunity to participate or actually to go out to watch the performances of the 10 finalists on April 12th. It's a Friday night, 7 o'clock at Hoffmantown Church, Harper and Ventura. But listen, it's a Christian talent search for middle school to high school students to showcase their God-given talents. Now, any student who attends private or public, homeschool, they can audition to be discovered in this talent competition. Auditions are due by March 22nd, and they're you post them online at abqgodstalent.com. I'll give that site again here in just a second. But in addition to looking for competitors, they're looking for singers of all ages for a multi-generational chorus to open the event. So you can go to the website for that as well. And listen, they're looking for singers, dancers, comedians. You could be a juggler, a musician, performers of varying talents. Think of someone who delivers like a TED Talk. If you do something like that, turn in your audition. It's free again to attend and to be part of the audience for the finals on April 12th. The information and audition submission can be done at abqgodstalent.com. Paul, I went to that last year. What a great family outing at Hoffmantown to just go and enjoy all those presentations from the students. Probably you'll go check that out again this year, but fun. You know, it's always nice to have these family outings at no cost, somewhere you can take your kids and safely enjoy time together.
Absolutely.
Paul Gessing is our guest from the Rio Grande Foundation, and going through some of the blogs he's posted online at errorsofenchantment.com. You know, it's a concern to every listener, I'm sure, what is done with our tax dollars. And we know after a $10 million abortion clinic was built in southern New Mexico, that was something that, you know, I'm guessing most, if not every single one of our listeners were not pleased with. Something else that our tax dollars are subsidizing probably won't sit well either, will it, Paul?
Yeah. You know, when you get big government, it starts to get its fingers into virtually everything. And New Mexico has big government in spades. And, not surprisingly, politicians have their own priorities. They look at a constitutionally limited, common sense government, and they say, well, that's no fun. I want to do things that win me friends, win me campaign contributions. And, they can justify it in almost any way imaginable. You mentioned the taxpayer-funded abortion clinic on the Texas border that Michelle Lujan Grisham, the governor, put into a capital outlay budget. I believe it was last year, or it was an issue during the last campaign. So I think it was before the governor's campaign that she was reelected, unfortunately, with Mark Ronchetti. But more recently, it was announced that the state of New Mexico was using what's called its LEDA, Local Economic Development Act, to subsidize the marijuana industry in the state of New Mexico. It's not a huge chunk of money, $90,000, but these are checks literally written to businesses in order that they can grow and expand their business. And so one can certainly say, the marijuana industry itself is not something that we should be subsidizing, even regardless of the legal versus illegal conversation. But on a secondary level, the state of New Mexico is the only target for the marijuana industry in New Mexico. That's because of vagaries of the law relating to federal regulations, and there's still a lot of aspects of the marijuana industry that are different from other products. If you're doing something to subsidize it with taxpayer dollars, generally the idea is that a New Mexico-based company is then selling their product across the nation and across the globe, that is not the way the marijuana industry works. So we are literally subsidizing the production of this product for New Mexico consumption, and then the state is taxing and regulating that same product for the benefit of big governments in New Mexico. So it's a very bizarre situation. Really quite aside from legalizing versus not legalizing marijuana.
Even if it makes the surplus bigger, we're not going to use it for the right cause anyway.
Yeah, and it won't, because the amount of money that you have to pay into a system to generate subsidies is always greater than the amount that's generated by the subsidies. That's just an iron law of economics. Same with the film industry. It's all the same kind of system.
Well, our tax dollars are being used for other causes as well, and it's been controversial. I don't know where we are in this process, actually, Paul, as far as our taxpayer dollars going towards the proposed stadium at Balloon Fiesta Park.
Yeah, the big thing right now is actually local opposition. The mayor, in his rush to set the location for the United Stadium at Balloon Fiesta Park, forgot that a lot of the residents in neighborhoods surrounding Balloon Fiesta Park are not only concerned and opposed to that kind of ongoing intensive use of that facility, but they are not even constituents under the control of the mayor. So they have expressed outrage, concern, and opposition to the United Stadium being at Balloon Fiesta Park, and it's really being held up at this point due to local opposition. But what happened during the legislative session is that New Mexico has this incredibly unaccountable capital outlay process where, I don't want to sound like a broken record, because these are all new issues. They just happen to have the same theme running through every single one, which is unaccountable government, awash in money, and spending it for wasteful projects. But the capital outlay bill, which is widely derided as the Christmas tree bill in Mexico legislature, it's got zero prioritization. It's just you, Representative Ryman, you get to pick some projects that you want to fund with tax dollars. I get to say do the same as a representative or a senator, and you just kind of grab it. There's no prioritization. There's no, is this good for the state of New Mexico?
Is there a limit on how many projects you can pick you want things to go towards?
Only based on the money available and your political sway. So anyway, again, I believe the governor got this put into the capital outlay bill, $16 million in this bill this session, for quote-unquote improvements at Balloon Fiesta Park. Now, there's nothing else going on at Balloon Fiesta Park that would cost $16 million, so I firmly believe that this is additional money that the state is putting up on top of the $13.5 million that's already available. So what we're really talking about is practically, at this point, $30 million from the state of New Mexico, $30 million from the team, which gets us to $60 million for the stadium itself. And that may or may not be enough to get the stadium completely financed. But we could be back here next session with more money and another capital outlay bill to fund the United Stadium, depending on construction costs, et cetera, how many delays they face. I have said it 100 times. I'll say it again. The United would be best served by using a little bit of money and some sway from their friend in the roundhouse in the governor's mansion to get UNM to let the United play at their football stadium, which is ideally set up for soccer. Switch out the turf for grass and maybe make a few improvements to some of the facilities there, and you've got everything made to order. You've got the parking, you got the infrastructure. Everybody already knows that that's the place you go for athletic events. There's no need to tax the infrastructure of Alameda, which is already not ready for that kind of big event. But we're going to shoehorn this thing in if the mayor gets his way, and increasingly reliant on taxpayer dollars for it.
All right. If you just joined us, we're visiting with Paul Gissing. the president at Rio Grande Foundation, and his blog postings at errorsofenchantment.com. We'd encourage you to go check those out. And so, Paul, you know, come COVID, we saw our governor have opportunity to make executive decisions using public health laws, and you wrote a blog about needed reform.
Actually, I wrote a full-on opinion piece that was in the Sunday Albuquerque Journal on this particular topic, highlighting that Monday of this past week was March 11th. That is when the world, the state, really shut down in terms of the COVID pandemic. That's when the first public emergency was declared by Governor Lujan Grisham. And, you know, we were by no means alone in this state in being declared an emergency and having some steps taken relating to the spread of the virus, because it was very early on in our understanding of that virus and where things were heading in terms of who was, you know, who could get it, what measures were effective in preventing it. But we started to understand, about a month or so in, what was really going on with the COVID-19 virus. Unfortunately, the governor did not seem to care one way or the other. The first thing that kind of set us against her in terms of our concerns was the Walmarts and the Home Depots and the Lowe's were open, especially their garden centers and the Jericho nurseries and the other non-big brand, big box centers couldn't be open. Restaurants were closed and then reopened. And it was a mess all the way across the board. We have the third highest COVID death rate among U.S. states. What the governor did in her very restrictive COVID rules was unsuccessful. We were in a COVID emergency till the end of March 2023.
Now, how did that compare to other states?
That was very much on the long side of that situation. And she was much more aggressive in her stance on COVID throughout it. And students were out of school for over a year, costing them dearly in terms of education achievement. We lost a lot of businesses in the state of New Mexico. It was a disaster. And our first and foremost point has been and is that the legislature needs a seat at the table in terms of the duration of these these public health emergencies, first and foremost. But we're in another public health emergency. I don't know if you know this, but right here in Bernalillo County, we're at the epicenter of the gun public health emergency that the governor said originally, we're essentially going to abolish the Second Amendment. You can't conceal carry, you can't open carry, you can't carry a gun in Bernalillo County. And you know, whether that is right or wrong, it obviously violates the Second Amendment to the Constitution. It is not something that the legislature was willing to do and remains that. It's just not proper means of making rules and regulations as it pertains to those issues. And we can't have that kind of thing ever again, in my opinion. So we're just highlighting that those rules need to be changed still in the state of New Mexico regarding public health emergencies. And it's not just the duration, it's also the subject matter. You can't just, restrict people's mobility and car usage because of global warming, as a potential example of something that we could easily see used.
Don't put ideas out there, Paul.
I know.
Okay, listen, we're going to spend the rest of our hour, the final segment, with Paul as well. We hope you'll go to the website at riograndefoundation.org or Errors of Enchantment and see many other blogs that Paul's covered. Stay with us. We'll be back with our final segment after this on ABQ Connect. Thanks for joining us. Our full hour today with Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation. And you'll find the blog post from Paul including some articles that he's written for the Albuquerque Journal. And Paul, did they quote you in the National Review, or is that you wrote that?
I wrote the full piece. Yeah.
Yes. So that couple of articles that you can check out, and more information, go to errorsofenchantment.com. And we're going to wrap up this conversation with a couple, if we have time, a couple of topics. We've got about five or six minutes left. Paul, one on the New Mexico Land Commissioner joining our governor and opposing quote-unquote democracy, as I read the title of the blog.
Yeah, well, the way I came up with that is that in the last legislative session, which, again, these aren't even Republicans. If this was, you know, the land commissioner's a Democrat, if the Republicans put up a fight on this issue, I would have said, okay, well, but the legislature is controlled by progressive Democrats, just like the land secretary, land commissioner. Land commissioner is an elected office in the state of New Mexico. It's a very powerful position. We have the state trust lands, which are available with oil and gas and other resources available on them. And that money is used by the land commissioner to generate revenues for school children across the state of New Mexico. Okay, the land commissioner's been around since the Constitution of the state of New Mexico. And they've generally had this, you know, they have a fiduciary responsibility. So it's a legal thing that they need to generate this money. Well, during the legislative session, the land commissioner, her name's Stephanie Garcia Richard, pushed a bill to increase essentially the tax rate on oil and gas. They call it royalties. It's a tax. She wanted to increase it from 20% of the value of the resource to 25% of the value of the resource. And she claimed, well, Texas does this at 25%, so we should be able to do it at the same rate. The legislature did not agree with her, and ultimately the bill was killed. This is 2 years in a row, by the way, that they've killed this bill. And again, these are people in broadly her ideological camp. And they so they killed this, and the land commissioner decided, well, I'm going to pick up my marbles and go home. It's kind of like a little kid that lost an argument, and so they're just they flip over the game board or whatever metaphor you want. She says, I'm not going to lease out any of the lands because I believe that their correct price is 25 cents on the dollar, not 20 cents on the dollar.
So instead of 20%, it would be zero. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
So the last thing I'll say on that is that it is really not apples to oranges with New Mexico and Texas. For example, we have this gross receipts tax that I keep talking about, which is charged at rates of 7 to 8%, and it impacts numerous aspects of the oil and gas production business. So we are doing things in New Mexico that already make the price as high or higher than Texas. So we still do have to compete in New Mexico. I'm not saying that raising the royalty rate by 5 percentage points, or, you know, ultimately what amounts to about a 20% tax increase, I'm not saying that'll destroy New Mexico's oil and gas industry, but the legislature disagreed with her. And because they did, she doesn't like it. And she's just very upset, and I'm not going to lease out any land. So that's
maybe would have been better received if gross receipts taxes went to zero, and then you move this up to 20. I mean,
if she said, "Hey guys, legislature, I lend my support to gross receipts tax reform. I think this is something we should do." You can make that argument and increase transparency, this, that, and the other. I think there's a lot of reasons for that.
All right, and one other quick article. We got about 2 or 3 minutes. This was news to me. I hadn't heard anything about this, Paul. The taxpayers. Now, I'm guessing this is Albuquerque taxpayers will be funding free rideshare services starting March 18th for a pilot program.
Yeah, and I just look at this as yet another failure of the bus system and the fact that mass transit is getting less and less popular. So what does government do when something that they're selling or giving away is increasingly unpopular? They cut the price and try to improve the service. So who funds that? We, the taxpayers. this new competitor, as they describe it, for Uber and Lyft. So you have private sector providers already in this realm. The city of Albuquerque, though, is going to fund to the tune of $26 per ride, a rideshare bus service, electric buses, of course, with the taxpayers of the city picking up the tab for it. We have done a public records request on this issue asking the city what their estimated cost of the project is and where those dollars are coming from. We know that ultimately it's out of your and my pocket, but we don't know exactly how much they have budgeted for this thing and where that's all coming from. So yeah, it's this has been reported in Channel 4, KRQE, KOB, et cetera, on the TV stations. And of course, you can read about it right there at heirsofenchantment.com. And, you know, there's so many problems with this. The use of tax dollars, the fact that there's already existing services, which, by the way, seem to be much cheaper because it's a pretty long trip around Albuquerque. You pretty much got to go from one side of town to the other for $26 to be the price and do it in rush hour. It seems that we're getting ripped off.
Yeah, that surprised me. Hey, the other thing I wanted to mention real quick, since we encourage our listeners to be involved and be registered to vote and go vote, go to riograndefoundation.org and click on the Freedom Index. You want to see how representatives and senators are voting and what's happening. That's a great place for you to be educated about you know, who you want to see back at the roundhouse after the next election.
Absolutely. You can see if they're scoring high and voting for good tax policies, good economic policies, limited government, or if they have very negative scores, as indicated by the minus sign and the red next to their name. They are voting for bigger governments and against your freedom. So check that out, riograndefoundation.org.
All right.
It's called the Freedom Index.
Well, Paul Gessing, thanks for being our guest today. We'll look forward to next month.
Thank you.
Good All to right. be with you. And make sure to tune in tomorrow. We'll get some great information about a Bible study that you may want to be a part of. And we'll also have our typical update from Brian Cochran, our Friday Financial Update, and our Heritage Foundation Update with Genevieve Wood. That's on tomorrow's ABQ Connect. Thanks for joining us every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock, ABQ Connect.